When Ryan Speedo Green was growing up in southeastern Virginia, he and his big brother used to cower in their room as their parents fought, and fought viciously. It wasn't long before Green acted out. When he was in second grade, he was consigned to a special class for violent children. By the time Green was 12, his father was no longer in his life. Green continued to be troubled. He once threatened his mother and brother with a knife. His mother put him in a juvenile detention home. He was taken there in leg shackles and spent some of his time there in solitary confinement. But his story took a dramatic turn thanks to some teachers who believed in him, and to a prophetic school field trip to the Metropolitan Opera. Green vowed to become an opera singer. Fast forward to today. Ryan Speedo Green is 34 years old now, and he's graced the most renowned opera stages in the world and played the most demanding roles. Green can handle the pressure. He's had a lot of practice. His life story as an African-American man is laid bare in the book Sing for Your Life. He says the blistering anger of his past is now a tool for the present.
Well, you know, for me, my past is only a way for me to look back and see how much I've accomplished. And part of failing so early in life helped me pursue this career in the future, because opera is a field of opinions. And one person can think you have the voice of an angel, and the other person can think you have the voice of a witch. And if you don't have a thick skin, if you don't have a strong enough belief in yourself and your abilities, it's very easy to fail and to fall.
When you went back to talk with the kids at the detention facility where you had been, this is much farther back in your life, it's a really interesting description of it in the book, where you touch the cinder block walls, you lay on the mattress in the area around the secluded rooms, a place where you erupted when you had been banished there earlier on. When you went back as a successful operatic singer, your personal mission was to try to reach one student, and the kids didn't make it easy for you. I wonder if you can tell us that story.
Well, when I started singing for the kids, you know, it was tough because it was, you know, one of them even climbed up behind me and was trying to like throw stuff at the back of my head while I was singing. You know, others were, you know, making noises, and it was very disruptive. But for me, I kept singing on because I knew exactly what these kids were going through. And even the kid who was behind me was trying to throw something at me. I turned around and started singing at him. And it kind of caught him off guard. And later on, after I left from the presentation, I got to meet a young lady of Arabic descent. And she sang for me a song in her native tongue. She was a bit tongue-tied, but I told her how I get nervous when I sing and how I was as a child, and I never could sing when I was her age, which is very true. And she started singing a little bit, and I think she saw the wonder in my eyes, and she really got into it, and she sang the whole song for me. And I think I was in tears then, just to be in a moment at this place that was a beautiful moment of someone sharing something personal and something that beautiful with me. It was really, really a rewarding experience.
So where is that life history and that sentiment of, well, both the anger and the wanting to do better? I mean, the whole package. Where is it when you are on stage before thousands of people at Tanglewood or the Met or the State Opera in Vienna?
I pull from a lot of my past experiences when I get on stage, especially now as a father. I even have more to pull from. And, you know, I know so many characters in opera have a dream. You know, they want to achieve something that is otherworldly or outside of their reach, and they do whatever it takes to get there. And I understand that feeling and that motivation.
What's a good example of that?
In the opera La Bohème by Puccini, I've portrayed the character Colline, and he has this really amazing aria at the end of the opera where he sings about selling his coat, which is his favorite possession, selling it so he can earn a little bit of money to buy medicine for a friend that is dying. For him, selling this coat gives him an opportunity to keep this dream a little bit longer alive. And for me, you know, I lost my father, I think like 4 years before I sang this role at the Met. And when I sang the aria on stage, you know, I thought if I could have sold my most prized possession, I would have given anything to spend a little more time with him, just to tell him, I love him one more time, or to tell him, you know, I'm just thankful that I got to know him. And I pull from that when I'm on stage singing to this coat.
I
There's a theme that keeps coming up in the book about you and in your life, and that has to do with a song that will be familiar to so many people, Old Man River, from the musical Showboat. So you, as a star, have to go to high society parties. You're expected to not just rub elbows with big donors. You are expected to sing. You're, I think it's 6'5", correct?
I'm 6'4", yeah, 6'4", 6'5", depending on what heels I'm wearing.
300 pounds, rough, yeah. give or take, depending on the weight of the shoes and the heels.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter that you have perfected a Verdi aria. You are often asked to sing Old Man River. I think for many people, they're going to think that is such a beautiful song, and they think of Paul Robeson and picture you singing it, but you bristle at the idea, and sometimes more than bristle. Could you explain why?
Well, you know, people mention a lot of times you sound just like Paul Robeson or William Warfield. And sometimes I would love to talk to them about, do you know much about Paul Robeson's story? Do you know that he was never allowed to sing opera in the United States and that he actually was able to pursue his dream in the Soviet Union because his own country thought that he was less than human?
And for those people who have seen the show, the character he's playing in the show is a man who has to work for and perform for white people.
And for nothing. And I think when people watch the Showboat, it's a song of a man who's living in post-slavery in the Jim Crow era, where this man is not even allowed to eat in the same restaurant. His kids are not allowed to go to the same schools that other kids are allowed to go to. You know, this is a man who's oppressed by society. It literally says this in the song, and yet it should be a song that ends in a solemn sadness, not in a round of applause and bravos and things like this.
You know, when you're on stage and you look out at audiences, they're still mostly white, and you used to think, as many people do, opera is mainly for white people, performed by white people. How do you see that changing, if you do?
Well, it's been changing for a while. It was a misconception on my part. As a young man, I knew nothing about opera. Of course, when I saw my first opera at the Metropolitan Opera, it was Carmen, and there was an African-American woman named Denise Graves playing the title role, and it completely changed my conception of what I thought opera was. And then I started doing more research, and I found out that some of the greatest opera singers America's ever had who have blessed the international stage have been African-American. And even we have tons coming from all over, from South Africa and France. They're out there. And I wouldn't be surprised, even in my lifetime, if we're talking about, you know, the top 10 greatest singers in the world. And a couple of those people are people with more melanin than others.
So your son, when he goes to his first opera, maybe he has already, won't be going with that same impression that you had when you were a kid.
I don't think so. I remember when my son was a month old, I was doing a Dvorak Requiem at the Stephans Dome in Vienna, in this huge church with thousands of people. And my son sat in the front row in his baby carriage, and I could see him in the audience with his eyes wide open. And he was, for 2 hours, he did not make a peep. He was listening so intently, and he was wide awake. And I'm excited, actually, for him to come visit me another summer here at Tanglewood. I think I'm excited for him to see me on a big amphitheater stage.
Ryan Speedo Green, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Ryan Speedo Green speaking to us last year. Green's working on a new project, a live theater event that chronicles his life from juvenile detention to the top of the opera world. He'll be on stage with the journalist Daniel Bergner, who wrote the biography of Green called Sing for Your Life. Green is scheduled to sing roles at the Metropolitan Opera in the second half of the 2021 season, including the music of Richard Strauss, which you're hearing now. One more thing. Ryan Speedo Green and his wife just welcomed their second son into the world last week. For photos and more, go to hereandnow.org.